good to know we serve a good God. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are perfect in all your ways. God, we thank you that you have brought healing, that you have brought restoration to people. Father, we thank you that you've already given us the healing, Father, and that we can boldly step forward and take that healing that you've already given us and supplied by the work of Jesus on that cross. God, I pray that we would be reminded of that today. Father, I pray that we'd be reminded of your goodness. I pray that we'd be reminded of your love. God, I pray that as we are here together today, God, we would be encouraged, built up, and know that we are loved, that we are important. Father, we thank you for all the amazing things you do for us and have done for us, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a seat, guys. Thanks to the music team. Can you hear me okay? I feel like I'm really quiet. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. If you can hear me, that's all that matters. So last week, I'm sure my dad is watching today, but last week I shared with you guys a little bit what was happening with my dad, that they didn't think he was going to make it through Friday night, and then he spent Friday night up until Wednesday in intensive care in the hospital, and I don't know if he escaped or they released him. I think they released him on Friday, actually. So he's home and recovering well. So thank you, all of you, for your prayers. It truly was a miracle that he survived. It was quite the ordeal, quite the thing. But God is good, and we know that he is a God that heals, don't we? And we know that we can stand on his healing that he has already given us. So welcome to Sunday Church. We had youth, as I mentioned earlier, and we had a great time. The kids were really blessed by the team from Essence, so we are so thankful for them. And I'm glad that you're all here with us this week. We're in our series of talks about foundations, and in particular this idea of being a new covenant church, new covenant believers, and what that means for us. So this week we're focusing on a message that I called Getting Focused, or Focused, or some sort of focus is in the title, but I put Getting Focused. Because I think we need to, every day, refocus on God and his goodness, and because far too many of us forget about who he is and what he's done. So I have a couple questions, and they're not necessarily rhetorical questions. You can put your hand up if you want, or you can just sit there and nod. I'm not taking score today, but how many of you would like to live a life of peace? Or a life of joy? A life of the miraculous? A life of prosperity, a prosperous life, a life of shalom. See, we need to start looking there in our lives, I believe. I believe some of us are like, well, yeah, maybe that one, but no, I don't think that's for us. But I believe that all of these pieces are laid out in the Bible for us to grab a hold of. These are the promises of his word. And there's so many other promises, and these are just a few that we're highlighting at this point. But we need to start looking at these things for our lives. When we came to Christ, we came pre-programmed with the wrong coordinates, the wrong way of thinking, the wrong way of living. And our autopilot needs an adjustment, right? As I talked about a few weeks ago about our autopilot. And it can be things like we came into knowing Jesus with a negative perspective or a critical perspective or a judgmental perspective. But these are all wrong coordinates, wrong ways of thinking, wrong ways of living. Our autopilot needs to be reconfigured, reprogrammed, adjusted. I don't want to go to Santa Ana. I want to go to sunny Las Vegas. I'm not a high roller because I don't even know how to gamble. I tried once, and I lost my dollar so fast. It was like, I'm glad that wasn't more. Actually, that's not true. I lost $100 once in like 5 seconds. I put it all on red, and it was black. Or I don't know what I did, but it wasn't good. One time, and I said, I'm never going to do that again. Fortunately, it wasn't my money, Stacy's cousin's money. So it was a lot easier to part with that money. He paid me back, so it's good. But we have all these past things in our life that we need to reconfigure and reprogram, the negativity, the criticalness, the judgmental, the arrogance, the sinfulness. All these pieces need to be reprogrammed in our life. We need to reprogram our autopilot and deal with these things. And it takes time. Some of us are easy. Yeah, we can say, yep, I'm going to Vegas. But some of us, it takes some time. We need to reroute a couple times and adjust it slowly. And that there's nothing wrong with that. It's about the heart and about continually trying to push that new coordinate system, that new belief system. Being spirit-filled, born-again Christians, we need to deal with these things, these deep beliefs that we are carrying in our new life as a believer. It's time to change our destination as individuals, as a church. It's time to adjust our autopilot. Now, in the late 1990s, Stanford University did a study of really successful people who were able to rise up to the top. And when they measured why they achieved so much against impossible odds and things going on against them, this wasn't people that were born into wealth, prosperity, right from a child. This was just regular people born into regular places, and they achieved outstanding success. They achieved success in business and family in all aspects. And of those people that they asked, they were able to isolate it down to five things, actually. And of those five things that they isolated down to, 85% of the things was one thing alone. Did you know that? The other four things, we'll talk about those first, were things like intelligence, education, talent, and luck. But that only made up 15% of the people that they spoke to, that they polled. You know what the number one thing was? It was attitude. It was attitude. And when we think attitude, what do we think of typically as people? We think about good attitudes or bad attitudes, right? Positive attitudes or negative attitudes. I remember growing up, and sometimes my mom would say this to me even up until a few years ago, when I give her a bit of attitude. But my mom would always tell me to go to my bedroom, open up my closet, grab a new attitude out of there, shake off the old one, and put on the new attitude. I don't know what was up with that, but it was her thing that she thought was funny to tell me I had a bad attitude, I guess. I don't have a bad attitude. But when we think about it, we think positive, negative, good, or bad. But the term attitude is the processes of your believing and your thinking. Everything you have learned, believed, thought through, this entire area, worldview, God view, your view of marriage, your view of life, your view of relationship, every area of your life, we have beliefs. They are your attitude. And William James said that the most important discovery of this generation is that people can change their lives by changing their attitudes. Some people will read that and say, okay, perfect, I just need to get positive. Yeah, right? And no, the term attitude is much bigger, way bigger, actually, than just being positive. And we become what we think about. So think about that for a moment. If we're thinking on negative things constantly, what do we become? If we start thinking about unsuccessfulness and how everybody is against us. Cohen actually just had this food health thing for his soccer program yesterday that he listened to. And I'm wrecking it because the girls have theirs later today, I think. And Seth's is later today. But they said, you need to change how you look at yourself. If you continue to look at yourself like you're defeated, you're going to be defeated, right? And it's actually scientifically proven that that is a fact. It's not about just positive thinking, though. Our minds are our steering mechanism for our lives. And a man or a woman is literally what he thinks, what he speaks, how he acts. His character is being the complete sum of all of his thoughts. The issue of attitude and character comes from the issue of what you think you believe. What you pay attention to is more powerful than anything you can imagine. We can't keep focusing on things that are negative or things that are awful and think that it doesn't matter in our life. And some of you might be thinking, Dave, you're full of it. Stop with the self-help. But you need, I believe that this is so critical for our lives. When you change how you think, when you change how your perspective is on life, it changes your life, doesn't it? Science has told us that. Heck, the people that are soccer health people that are talking about food and lifestyle, that's what they just told us. They're supposed experts. So I guess that makes me an expert. God makes me an expert. He makes you an expert. And when we come to Christ, we have this habitual thinking or habits of thinking and believing that need to change. There are certain things that we have control over, and we need to make a decision on what we are going to believe and how we're going to live. To put off as a Christian, now that we are Christians, that old you, that, as I guess my mom was kind of right, take off that old attitude and put on a new attitude. Put on the attitude of Christ. Put on that new lifestyle, that new way of thinking, to get rid of that crap, that garbage, and put on the new good. Man, it's like going from, I don't know what, Kresge's to, I'm trying to think of a fancy clothes store, Macy's cat store. It's like going from Kresge's to cat store. Right? It's about putting on something, not just the same, but something better. And to put off as Christians the way that we were and put on the new, I believe that is the renewing of our mind. Putting on the new mind of Christ. The renewing of the mind from Scripture is not just new information. It's putting off an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old belief pattern system, and putting on a brand new one. So what is attitude according to the world, right? I kind of shared a little bit about what Cohen's soccer stuff said. They say it is a mental outlook. It's a frame of mind. It's how we think. What goes on the inside of a person. Your thoughts, your feeling towards others, your thoughts towards your situation, to life in general. It is similar to a mood or a disposition. It is an expectancy. And doctors and scientists who are studying the human race are just starting to discover that the people that have this attitude, they're discovering that this attitude is creating an expectancy. And you know that an expectancy sounds like? What does it sound like? When you think of expectancy, when you expect something, it's a bit like faith. Trusting God or trusting in fear. Giving into the negative or walking in the positive goodness of God. People who generally have positive attitudes expect the best, don't they? People who generally have a negative expectancy, what do they expect? The worst, trouble. They're expecting something, they're checking around the corners, expecting something bad to jump out and get them. And both cases, though, these expectancies are generally fulfilled, aren't they? If you're looking for bad, if you're looking for junk, you're going to generally find junk. If you're looking for good, you're going to find good. So even science is telling us that people's attitude is determining their future. And they just made a case for faith for us. Your attitude, your focus is the determining factor. I love when the science community makes a case for faith, because that's what people try to take away from the church, to try to take away from believers. That's what some churches try to take away from churches like us that believe in faith, that want to act on faith, that want to live in faith, right? They want to try to take that away and say, but you can take your butt and get out of here. That's what I say to them. What you put your attention to can either deceive you, or it can bring life and peace and prosperity and blessings. That should be an amen, but I won't force that on you. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So when you look at that verse with life, for those of you who do not focus on Christ, that do not know Christ, This is not even, I guess, just for the non-believers. This is for those of us believers that don't focus on Christ, as well as those who don't walk out the critical parts of putting off and putting on the new life of Christ, the new attitude of Christ. It says here that they don't know what they stumble over. Then they moan and, oh, I don't know what happens. I don't know what's going on. Oh, this is so hard. And have you heard believers say stuff like this? I know I have, so maybe I'm the only one. Maybe they just come to me because I'm the pastor. I don't know what's going on. Nothing seems to go right. Am I alone here? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you've been one to say that. Too many people within the church, too many people out there are stumbling on life and not going anywhere. And we should be going places. Like I said, this isn't just for those that know Christ, it's for those that don't know Christ. This is for those believers who haven't done anything or not doing this incredibly important process of putting off old habits, old thoughts, old beliefs, and putting on the new that He has given us and we should be walking in. We need to put off our old habits and put on the new habits. We need to put off the habits that the devil is in charge of your life and start putting on the new habits that we walk in blessings and can walk in faith and live life appropriately as to what Christ has given us, a life of blessing. You know, if you're one of those that have not decided to put off the old, maybe you're going to feel like everything is going down around you. It's not great. Maybe you feel like you can't manage your emotions. Maybe you feel like you can't get faith to work in your life. Faith is not like a little dab will do you to keep you positive. That's not what it is. Faith is the sum of all of your thinking. It's all your thoughts that you need to deal with. And the Bible becomes this stunning, amazing thing that you can dive into, daily reading, daily spending time with Him, and daily knowing what His plans and purposes are for you, what His blessings are for you. That's why we need His Word to dive in deep. And we can read about stuff like this in Romans 12. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good," or what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As new situations arise in your days, maybe it's a storm in life, because storms still happen around us, but as you walk through those circumstances, you have existing beliefs that come from an old pattern of living. But that's not who you are. See, too many Christians who struggle think that they are trying to become someone different. No, you're already that person. It's just that you need to put off your old way of thinking and put on this new way of thinking that God has given us. We need to focus in God's Word every day so that our autopilot is reprogrammed. Proverbs 4 tells us to attend to the world or to give them attention, doesn't it? And we're going to read that in a few moments. But it says here, so many people today in the church say things like, "I can't get this to work." I read that in a book the other day, and it's disheartening to me. Why should the church be giving into that way of thought? I used the term last week, stinking thinking, right? How many of us in the church have stinking thinking going on? And they talk about when something doesn't work right, maybe they try to reference it to a promise that they use incorrectly, and they say, "This isn't working right." And then they talk about things like their health or their finances or their relationships or anything they're having issues with. Maybe they say they can't deal with the stresses and the anxiety. But the Bible teaches very clearly that your thinking, what you pay attention to, is creating boundaries in your life. Let's read Romans 8-4. Now, I hope I transposed it correctly up there, so bear with me. It says, "That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is the subject of the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, Your body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life is, the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, through his spirit who dwells in you. So we get this, after this we get into sonship, but we're going to stop there for now and talk about sonship in the coming weeks. But so to be carnally minded is to have our mindset on the old you that is gone if you are a believer. We need to shed the carnal thinking. If we set our mind on things that bring death to your life, too many hold on to what they think. They won't get into the Word. They won't dig in and give Jesus their attention and what he says about them. There's no process of putting off and putting on. We need to learn Jesus. We need to learn what he says. We need to learn what he has commanded. We need to learn from his example, and we need to learn from the way that we know the Word says. We need to become a new creation. And when we realize that we are in Christ, it will rise up within us and we will realize the real us, who we are called to be. So Proverbs 4:23 says this: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So another way this is said is keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the boundaries of your life, is another translation. So if you feel like that movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, am I old when I say that? Does anybody remember Groundhog Day? Yeah, right? It's funny. I haven't watched it in years, but I was a kid and I thought it was funny. Well, teenager, I thought it was funny. I would have been a kid. I don't want to date myself too much there, right? But year after year, day after day, the same thing. It could be health, relationship, finances, your mind, your emotions, whatever it is. You have put up boundaries in your life, and while you have those boundaries up, you keep coming up to them, and it's you putting those boundaries up. It's not Christ putting the boundaries up in your life. Like when you're a child, and maybe you don't remember, maybe it's better to say, if you have a child or had a child at some point, and you put them in your room, and you remember those baby gates to keep kids from falling down the stairs? How many parents put the baby gates in the door jams so the kids are stuck in their room? Is that bad parenting? We did that, right? A few times. Seth was like always getting out. Is anybody else a bad parent in that respect? It's not bad parenting, it's smart. But you put up that boundary with a gate across the door, right? And they can sit there and they can glance out, but they cannot come out and experience everything in the whole house. That's what that gate does. That gate is binding them in their room. It's holding them there, almost holding them as a prisoner. You see others out in the room, and they're all happy. They're all having popcorn and chips and pop and birthday cake, but you're stuck in the room with this gate up. Think about what you did to your kids and depriving of them that. But they're bound to the room, and the boundary is binding them to this room. They're missing everything that they can see happening in the house around them, but they can't get out of the room. And too many Christians just continue to deal with death as a continuum, meaning you can see what the Bible lists as curses in Deuteronomy, but yet it's your life, and you're like, this is what I'm bound to. And according to his word, if we are a new covenant church and a new covenant people and new covenant believers, that should not be there. That gate shouldn't be there, because we can experience the fullness of the house. We can get out to the birthday party and have the hot dogs. I don't know who wants hot dogs. But anyway, we can have cake. We can have ice cream. We can have the chips and the pop and have the party balloons and the streamers. We can have the party. As believers, we should be expecting the party. But as believers, we continually put the gate up so we can't get out to the party. Do you know what I'm saying here? Did I make sense of that all for you? I hope so. If not, we'll talk later. I'll put you in a room and we'll have a party out here and you can sit in the room. But only so many of you at social distance spaces. And this is gross. I don't want hot dogs. Have you ever watched, never mind, I'm not going to go there, watch them make a hot dog? We're not going to talk about that. In Mark 4:22, it starts talking about wisdom and knowledge. And here's what Jesus says and taught. In Mark 4:22, "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it would come to light, that is, things are hidden only temporary until the appropriate time comes for them to be known." In other words, he's talking about you. He's talking about you and me, and there are things that we don't know yet. There are things we haven't figured out yet. And Jesus isn't trying to hide them from us. He wants us to know the secret. He wants us to know what might not be visible to us yet. Have you ever sat in a circle around a table and strategized and shared thoughts and just talking? And then someone around the table leans forward and says, "Do you know what I think?" Have you ever been in a situation like that? Maybe you're the person that says, "Do you know what I think?" Some of us are the person that says, "Do you know what I think?" too much, because we just want to hear a voice. But you know that person I'm talking about, right? And Jesus is sitting there with us around a table, and he's saying, "Do you know what I think, Dave? Let me tell you what I think, what I know, Dave." And that's what Jesus is saying in this verse. "Do you know what I think, Stacy? Do you know what I think, Bill? Do you know what I think, Tracy? Do you know what I think, Lyle? Do you know what I think, Myrna? You know what God wants to tell you? He isn't hiding any wisdom. And every person listening to me could have a uniquely different area they're struggling with. And God is saying to you, there is no secret I am keeping from you. Do you know what I think about what is going on here? That's what God is saying to you. That's what he wants to reveal to you in his word. To guide you to the truths, because the Bible is what God thinks. It's not a secret. And then we read what Jesus says in verse 23. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words." The Bible is God's thoughts about your life, and it's not cryptic, it's not confusing, it is for you. And he knows what you need next. He knows what you need to be successful, to experience joy, to experience peace, to experience prosperity, to experience full relationships in your life. He knows what you need, and he wants to reveal it to you. And then Jesus says in verse 24 to 25, he says, "Then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you, and you will be given even greater ability to respond. And more will be given to you besides. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given, and whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him." So Jesus is saying, you be careful what you are hearing. Why? Because the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth right here is going to be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. This is the teaching continuum. Life is a continuum. Once you learn the principle of God, the principles of God, his word, and that he leans in and he says, "Let me tell you what I think, Dave." That's what his word is to us. It's a "let me tell you what I think." Let me tell you some truths there. Because he wants to tell us how to live this Zoha life that we've been talking about lots, this new covenant life that we've been talking about. And this life begins to spark and touch everything in your life, every area of your life, and it starts to spark and burn. But if you don't reach out and you don't pay attention to the teachings of Christ, especially things like the cross, then you're going to find out that what you have will be taken. And things won't get better. They could get worse, because those things that you miss and don't know and don't study and don't push for will get forgotten. Until you decide to put off and put on, then you can start walking in all the things and you can begin the process again of renewing your mind. You need to deal with stinking thinking in your life and put off habitual things, put off habitual practice, put off habitual processes, and put on the things of God. That's what I want for us. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to put on the things of him. He wants us to put off the things of the world and put on the life of him. Put on his robe. Put on his attitude. Like my mom said, shake off that old attitude, put it in the closet, and put on a new one. going to invite the music team up. And in closing, I just want to say, I want us to be a people who change our thinking. Your thinking is continually planting your future in your heart. Okay? We need to put off stinking thinking and start putting on this life-giving thinking, this life process, this attitude of Christ. Your thinking right now is making stronger boundaries. So either you can have strong boundaries that are holding you in the room, or that boundaries that are invisible, and you can just experience all the goodness of God. What do you want to experience? As you spend time in His Word, you begin to get released and set free. You begin to change your lifestyle. You begin to change your mindset. You begin to change your attitude. You begin to change your outlook on things. And that's what we need to do as believers. We need to change our outlook. We need to change our attitude. And we need to give attention to the stuff that God wants us to put our focus on. So what are you thinking about today or every day? Where's your focus? Let's get it in the Word of God and all the things that He has promised us. Let us be a people who yearns for the truth of His Word. Amen? Let us be a people who, as my mom said, I never thought I'd be saying this to somebody, especially in a church. Take out that attitude, or take off that old attitude, shake it out, put it back in the closet, and get on that new attitude. Well, yeah. But we need to allow Christ to work in us and allow Him to give us that new attitude, and we need to be willing to put off and put on the attitude of Him. Put off that attitude of the world and put on the attitude of Him that is full of blessings and promises and things of goodness. Would you guys pray with me? Father God, I pray that today, as we just talked about attitude, God, and just talked about getting focused on You, and God, I pray that we would be a people that just yearn and long to be focused fully on You, God. I pray that we would be people that desire You more than ever. God, people that would dive deep into Your Word and know Your words and know the life You give and You provide and that You bring us. God, I pray that You would just encourage us, lift us up, Father, and we just pray that You would just have touched our hearts today, God, and just encourage us. Father, bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take a moment now just to, if there's somebody either watching online or somebody here in the room that doesn't know Jesus and wants to know Jesus, we're going to give you that chance to know Jesus and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to accept Jesus in your heart, to cross the line from living in the world to living with Jesus all the time, and giving you opportunities to dig into the things of Him and the prosperity and blessings and peace that only He can give you. So we do this every week. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to accept Jesus, just repeat this prayer. That's all I'm asking of you. And for those of you that know Jesus, I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer with me so that anybody online or in person that doesn't know Jesus feels comfortable to repeat this prayer. So if you're ready to accept Jesus, we're just going to pray this prayer right now together, okay? It's a simple prayer. It's not like some magical prayer. We're just going to pray. Dear God, thank You for sending Jesus to die in my place, to take every punishment, to take the curse, to take my stinking thinking, and to give me a new life, new joy, new prosperity, new blessings. Thank You, Jesus, that I am now free. So Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life and make me new. Because Jesus, from this day forward, I'm chasing after You. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, reach out to me at the church, 306-882-2453. Email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca. Message me on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, whatever. I want to connect with you. I want to talk to you. I want to share with you, and I want to connect you, if you're not in Rosetown, with a good Bible-based church wherever you might be. If you're here or even away, I'd love to send you a Bible and give you a Bible to read so that you can spend time getting into His Word and changing and fixing your attitude to according to what He has told us and has given us, and so that you can get to know Him in a new and real way. We're going to pray in closing today, guys, so I'm going to invite you just stand with me for a second. If you're at home, stand with me as well. Father God, we love you. God, we honor you. God, we thank you for those that have accepted you today as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for those that have decided to cross the line from this old way of living to this new and prosperous and blessed life that you've called each and every one of us to. God, I pray that as we go about this week and as we go out into our communities and into our friends groups and into our workplaces, God, I pray that we will have boldness to stand up and tell others about you. That we would have boldness to share with you, or share with others, your goodness, and share with others the peace that you've given us. I pray that as we go out, that we would put off the old life and put on the new, prosperous, blessed life and attitude that you have given us. And I pray that as we dig into your word, Father, that we would renew our mind each day. And God, I pray that as we're out and ministering and telling people about you, not just by the way we live, but by the words we speak to them, that we would take time and have a moment and an opportunity to invite them to church so that they can come to know you, the real Jesus, the real God, the Savior of this earth that loves us and loves them. So God, we thank you and we pray for an amazing week that we know we are going to have in you. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless and have a great day.